Well, happy Father's Day, Fellowship. Man, I mean, seriously, what a joy. I tell you, this is actually really nostalgic for me to see all the hand fans out here going, because when Fellowship started, when I was 3 years old, we met in a number of different places. Actually, Anthony's school was the first place we met as a church after someone's home. But we went to a number of different lower gyms of schools that didn't have AC. And in the summertime, we passed them out with a bowl. This is what I saw every Sunday right here, people hanging out, listening to the word of the Lord, and fanning themselves. So it's kind of fun for me. Plus, the AC in our house that my family just went out this last Friday. So this feels like home for me right now. I'm kind of acclimating like you do when you go on a mission trip. I'm not really sweating that much yet. I'm sure I will later. But it's good to see you guys here. And for any of y'all that are relatively new with us, we are in our second week of a series that we're doing in the Psalms. And so excited about this summer series that we're doing, and where we're walking through different types of psalms. And that's kind of what we share with you in the introduction message that we did last week, is that instead of just picking six of our favorite psalms and preaching those and kind of what the text says specifically, we said, man, let's take one of each different type of psalm, right? We're going to preach a thanksgiving psalm and a lament psalm and a wisdom psalm and a royal psalm. And tonight, like you heard, Psalm 150, a praise psalm. And really, what we're excited about in doing that is for all of us as a body to have a deeper understanding of the freedom that God gives us in worship to Him, of the different ways He calls us to express our worship to Him and our emotions, and to cry out to Him in our needs, whether it's lamenting over something painful and hard and sorrowful with grief in our hearts, or whether it's praising Him like we'll talk about today with joy and excitement. We just want our body to feel the freedom of all the ways God calls us to worship Him, and the different attitudes and actions that that means, and some of the different things that we'll look at. And like we'll see today, like I said, one of the ways God loves for us to praise Him is in joyful, exuberant praise. He loves that kind of worship from His people. And just to give you a little heads up in this series, we are going to attempt to preach a little shorter than normal, okay, so that we can have more time in responsive worship afterwards to sing more and actually practice what we're preaching. It'd be kind of silly to preach a bunch on the Psalms and then just all kind of say amen and go home without actually singing a little bit more together than we normally do. So if I wrap things up a little quicker, that's not a sign to leave quicker. Okay, we're not doing that so our service is shorter. We're doing that so we have more time to sing and praise God together. And so I'm excited about doing that. But before we dive in this evening, let's pray, can we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, for the glory that you've shown us, Lord, in our own hearts, in our own faith and walk with you, in your word, in all the different ways you intervene in the world, Lord, there's so much that we can praise you for. I beg you, as we walk through this series of the church together, I beg you, Lord, as we experience the different ways that the Holy Spirit inspired these psalmists to write worship and praise songs to you, Lord, that we would gain a deeper understanding of what you desire from us. Lord, just like on Father's Day today, it'd be silly for us to honor our fathers by celebrating them in ways that they don't like. Really, we try to honor and celebrate people in the ways that we know are going to mean something to them. May we do the same for you. Thank you for telling us what that means. In your name, and amen. I love the NFL. I do. I don't necessarily love everything that it's become, right? All the anthem controversies and the player misconduct and the greed and all the concussions. So I don't necessarily love everything that happens in the NFL, but I just love football. It's my favorite sport. And I love to see it played at the highest level it can be played at. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but your own beloved campus pastor, Tim Caldwell, and I bond a lot over Dallas Cowboy games together and watch them and celebrate them, especially against our arch nemesis, Brandon Bernard. No, the Pittsburgh Steelers, sorry. I get that confused. Brandon's a big Pittsburgh fan, so sometimes I mix him up with the Steelers themselves. No, but we love to watch football and to watch our team play that. And because of that, every now and then I'll catch a show. There's a show I really like called A Football Life. Any of you guys ever seen A Football Life? No, just one woo? Good job. And Isaac, thanks, Isaac. No, it's a really fun show where really what they do every now and then, they'll take some of the greatest NFL players, these historical players, and they'll do like a documentary on their life. And they'll talk about that. They'll show you kind of the high school, their high school accolades, their college, their pro career. They'll dive into a little bit of their family story. You just get a little mini documentary on some of these great players' lives. And a lot of times they're really, really good. Well, a little while ago, I saw the one on Jerome Bettis, okay, who's known as the Bus, all right? He has nicknamed the bus because he's this huge running back, as big as a lineman. And so the DBs would hate it when he bust through the line because they said it's like trying to tackle a bus. That's how he got his name. He's huge and fast and strong. And so I remember watching this story, and he's got a great story. If you ever have a minute and see it on, watch it, because he's a really awesome individual. But one of the best parts of these stories when they do them is when they show, because most of these guys are in the Hall of Fame, when they show their induction ceremonies into the NFL Hall of Fame. And when you're watching Jerome's story, you're so excited about the moment where finally coaches and players get up in front of him and his family and his kids and everyone, and they just tell him how great he is. Because watching his story, you want that for him so bad. The humility that he showed in his career, the way he waited for a championship for so long, the way that he deferred to other players around, just the kind of man that he was, you want that for him in that moment. When they finally get up and do it, it is such a special, special thing. And when you watch those moments, it's interesting. There's two things people primarily share when they want to honor somebody. You guys may have done it today for Father's Day if you're talking to your dads. There's probably two kinds of things that people talk about when they want to honor someone and give them praise. Who they are as a person, and then what they did in their career, right? That's what you hear in those Hall of Fame speeches. Here's all the awesome things he did, but also here's the man that he was. And that's not just true of football players. That's true of anyone that we want to honor. Any of your favorite athletes, any musician, any Nobel Peace Prize winner, any artist or any academic or any public figure, any parent or grandparent at their 50th, 60th, 70th birthday or anniversary that you want to celebrate. So many times when we do that, right, we primarily want to honor them. We honor them, we praise them, we praise them. We praise them for who they are and what they've done. And that's what we do for imperfect, fallen human beings, right? How much more should we do that for the God who created these imperfect human beings that we think are so incredible? The most incredible individual human being you've ever thought of in your life that you think is so amazing doesn't hold a candle to the one who made him or her. Which is why when the psalmist sits down to write these praise psalms inspired by the Holy Spirit, right, to glorify the one only true God over the universe who actually does deserve all this praise, they do the same thing. They spend time talking about and writing about who God is and what he has done for us. So much more than any other human being could ever do. His character is so much more amazing and perfect and holy than any other human could ever be. No, one of the ways that God has created us to worship him is in praise. And one of the reasons why we chose this praise psalm, Psalm 150 in particular, and if you want to turn there in your Bibles, you can. If not, we'll have the verses I'm going to reference on the screen. We already read it earlier. But one of the reasons why I chose that psalm to talk about praise psalms is because it's one of the praise psalms that really answers a whole bunch of questions about praising God. Who, what, when, where, why types of questions about God. And right off the bat, we see it dive in verse 1 to talk about where and when we should praise our God. Where and when? And the answer to that is anywhere and anytime we should praise our God. Look at verse 1 with me. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary and praise him in his mighty heavens. Notice here, the psalmist says that we are to praise God during the corporate gathering, in the sanctuary, when we gather the saints together in this way, right? At the same time, he also references outside of the corporate gathering, here in the heavens, right? Probably among the angelic beings. But in other praise psalms, we see him talk about in the meadows, on the mountaintops, in the valleys, near the rivers, in the city, in the gates of the city, right? They talk about praising God in the corporate gathering like we are right now and outside in the highways and byways and everywhere that you may go. God here trying to call us back to wrestle with this idea of asking us, do you cheer for these lesser humans in their arenas? How much more should you cheer for me in mine, right? You can feel God asking that question. Do you praise fallen people in their concert halls and in their stadiums and in their lecture ballrooms and their auditoriums? Then praise me in mine when you're here gathered together. Yes, church, for any of us that grew up in a church setting where maybe church for us seemed like it was supposed to be very formal at times and maybe a little cold and drab and dreary, God's calling us to say, no, there's times for lament. We'll talk about that. There's times for mourning. There's times for introspection. There's times for being somber and reflective, absolutely, for weighing on our sin and what Jesus had to do to pay for that sin. But he says there's also times to cheer and to clap and to celebrate with joy because of what God has done for us and to who he is. We should praise him. But like we said, not only in here, but out there, right? Not only in the church, not only a once a week kind of a thing for an hour here and there. No, it's all the time. The praise of the Lord should be filling our hearts and our lives and our mouths together, right? In the heavens, on the earth, in the oceans, in the highways and byways, we should not be ashamed of our God. Romans says that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to the Jew and to the Greek, to everyone. It's the power of God for salvation. I should not be ashamed of that or nervous about that or anxious about sharing that. After all, the same way we talk about our favorite author with anybody, anywhere, anytime, our favorite athlete or team, anywhere, anybody, anytime, we should talk about our God with anyone, anywhere, anytime, overflowing with joy for who he is in our hearts, the things he's done in our lives, what he's done in the midst of the scriptures that we see. But not only can we praise him anytime and anywhere, right? That's the when and the where. But look at what we can praise him for in verse 2. It says, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness, right? Those are the two things we said we naturally praise other people for. And that's what God calls us to praise him for, is who he is and what he's done. Who he is and what he's done, right? We should praise him for his activity and for his character. The reason why we naturally do that for people is because it's what we are created to do for God. Notice, praise him for his mighty deeds, what he's done, and according to his excellent greatness for who he is. That's why the songs we sing here at Fellowship try to do that. They're much more, hopefully, God-centric than they are man-centric. Much more about praising him and telling him who he is and what he's done than they are about how great any of us are, because that's why we gather together. That's why we serve him. In fact, all of our good deeds, the scripture says, are even like filthy rags unless they're done by his spirit through us, because he is the one who empowers us to do anything of greatness. In fact, I want to read another praise psalm to you here in the middle of this sermon, then Psalm 150, that I think lays out, I think you'll hear it as I read it out loud, all these different things we can praise God for. If we're to praise him for who he is and what he's done, I want to read Psalm 147 to you that really talks about a lot of different things he's done. I just want these words to wash over you and for you to listen to them and think about, man, how many times do I praise God for these kinds of things? When I'm praying, do I stop and just praise him for these kinds of things? When I'm talking, do I just talk to others about these kinds of things? Listen to some things we can praise God for, Psalm 147. It says, praise the Lord. For it's good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant. And a song of praise is fitting, right? So first thing we see, it's pleasing to God when we praise him. It's like a fragrant aroma, the scripture says, rising up to him. He loves it when we praise him. Goes on to say, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. We can praise God for healing the broken, for coming alongside those in need, for nurturing people who are down and out. He loves to do that. It's something we should praise him for. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. We can praise God for creating everything that exists. The most awesome sunrise or sunset you've ever seen, stop and praise God for that. When you look up into the sky and see galaxy after star, the scripture says he not only made them, he named each and every one of them. And you ask any astronomer and scientist how many stars that is, it is overwhelming, infinite. They can't even find the end of it. It's so incredible, the number, like the sands of the sea. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. We see right there kind of who he is. He's powerful, abundant in power, and no one can measure his understanding. It's overwhelming the amount of wisdom that he has, right? Think about the people that we praise for their wisdom, for how smart they are, for the things that they've built and created. I remember when Amy and I went to Dubai to see one of our mission partners, right? And there, the tallest building in the world that they've built there is a testimony to their greatness, and it's an engineering marvel. And as awe-inspiring as that is, it should be nothing compared to what we can praise God for what he's created and for who he is and what he's done. The Lord lifts up the humble. He cast the wicked to the ground. We can praise him for bringing justice to unjust situations. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. We can praise him for keeping creation going. I mean, he could have created it and just let it all die, right? But he sustains it each and every day by the word of his mouth. He gives the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of man. I love this part right here. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Steadfast love of the Lord is his unconditional love. The Hebrew word there is hesed. It's his the love that he gives us that we don't deserve. It's his merciful love. It's his grace. We can give God praise and should that he takes pleasure in those who lean on his grace, who need his grace, who acknowledge that we are desperate for his grace. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, right? He loves people that praise him in that way. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children with you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. We can praise him for protecting us, for providing for us. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. We can praise him for establishing absolute truths that we can trust in. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? We can praise him for his awesome power, and he can bring anything to its end or to its beginning. He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word for Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He's not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. I wanted to read that to you just because it's 20 verses of just a ton of things God's done that we can praise him for. And that's just a fraction of all the things that we can praise God for that we find in Scripture, who he is and what he's done. Well, thirdly, not only can we see when and where, not only can we see what we're to praise him for, but look at what he tells us we can praise God with in verses 3-5. It says, praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud and crashing cymbals. Right? I know all of our drummers love that verse right there. We can praise God with loud and crashing cymbals. Listen, I know when I read that, as a non-denominational Bible church, we have a lot of people that come here to fellowship from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different walks of life, a lot of different ways of worship. And I know oftentimes what feels normal to you may feel totally foreign to the person sitting next to you in a church like ours. Because all of us are raised in a little different church background, what feels normal or like home when it comes to worship. Some of us grew up in a church that sang all hymns and only hymns. And I love hymns. They're some of my favorite songs to praise Jesus to. Love them. And we'll sing some of those here. Some of you grew up in a church that sings a cappella only. Man, I love a cappella singing. It is some of the most beautiful worship to God that there is, right? It's a beautiful thing if you grew up in a church like that. And here's the thing. Here at Fellowship, we may do some of those, all of those, none of those, different things at different times. But here's what I want us to hear from the Scriptures in this passage in particular. God allows us to praise him with just about any gift he's given mankind and just about any instrument we can create. That's what I see in the Scriptures. I see it, God telling us that we can praise him with old songs, but he also commands us to praise him with new ones and to be creative in our praise and not get stale and stagnant in how we sing songs to him. We can sing a cappella, but we don't need to feel guilty using instruments. They're riddled all over the Scriptures of praising God with lute and harp and all these different kinds of things, cymbals and crashing and drums and all these things. Any instrument, acoustic, electric, whatever. In the Scriptures, we see this freedom to use our creativity that God's given us to praise him in the places where we gather. And notice here in this psalm, it even references kind of different postures of worship, right? Here we see dancing. It says, you know, we can praise him with dance in verse 4. So I want to speak to that for a second, because we're going to see that throughout the five different types of psalms, we'll see all these different ways that the psalmist is calling people to praise God and to do these things, okay? Because that's one of the things we want to talk about in this series, the difference between what we do when we gather corporately and that we have the freedom to do individually in our relationship with God and worship him however we feel free to in the Scriptures. I'd love for us to be the kind of church that has the freedom that we have in Christ to express ourselves to him honestly and emotionally and within our individual personalities, right? And yet in a way that when we come together doesn't feel chaotic or confusing or just like a bunch of individuals in a room doing their own thing, because that's not what he calls us to when we gather either. So let me speak individually first. We worship God in our homes or in our cars or in creation. We're in informal settings and gatherings in that way of the church body. We have all kinds of freedom to worship God. And I would say in any way the scriptures call us to. In any verse that you find where someone's worshiping God, you have the freedom to worship God in that same way in your individual worship of the Lord. Right? With shouting and with dancing and with kneeling and with bowing and all the things that we see and find in any verse of the Bible. And we shouldn't look down on anyone that does something differently than we do. I mean, you see that in the scriptures with King David. King David, when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, when they recapture it from the Philistines, or I say that when God brings it back from the Philistines, in the midst of that, we see David so excited to have the presence of the Lord back with them in Jerusalem. He's dancing before the Ark of the Lord as they bring it back to the streets of Jerusalem. And his wife, Michal, gets really upset at this, because she's a little embarrassed about it. She doesn't really like it a whole lot. She's kind of embarrassed about it, so she looks down at him. She even scolds him for it, right? When you read that passage, what you find and see is that Michal is the one who is in the wrong with God, not David. He has the freedom to express himself in any way that we would at a football game or at a concert or when we heard we got a promotion or in a marriage engagement or a baby shower or whatever it is that you get excited about. God deserves all of that kind of praise and excitement and passion and more, okay? At the same time, just because God gives us the freedom to worship him in those ways doesn't mean that every time that a group of people gathers together that they're going to do all of those things, okay? Paul says, all things are lawful for me, not all things are profitable. All things are permissible, not all things are beneficial. Love and our love for one another when we gather together should trump our individual personalities and desires. There's a difference between coming together in worship to give our praise to God in a certain way together as a church family and what we do individually whenever we want to or in smaller groups wherever we want to. I think about even like my own dinner table at my house. Okay, my family's here, all my kids, my wife, we all have different personalities, right guys? And some of us are more expressive, exuberant, some of us are more quiet and reserved. But when we get together on the dinner table, we don't all just do whatever we want, all five of us at the same time, right? Our dinner table has a certain feel. And any of you that have been over there, like Lily, know what that feels like, right? And so there's a different setting in every home. And y'all's home is different than our home. Right, when you sit down at the dinner table, some families are very formal. They take turns when people talk. They wait. You hear the clinging of silverware, right? It's very formal. Other families are, man, they're talking over each other. They're getting up and grabbing food. They're sitting down. It's just kind of chaotic, right? Different families are different. That's great. God's made different families different. Here's the thing I know. Within each family, individuals don't always feel like their family gatherings do. What do I mean by that? What I mean is there are formal families, when they gather together, it feels very formal, who have very emotional, exuberant, excited individuals in that family. There are very emotional families, when they gather together, it's kind of chaotic, who have individuals in their family who are very reserved and don't necessarily feel as kind of outgoing and emotional as the rest of their family members do, right? Amy and I set the tone for our family gatherings and meals and kind of what that feels like in our home, what Parkinson family gatherings feel like, even though our kids may be different individually than that. In the same way, I would say in the church, even though God has wired all of us uniquely, and he's wired all of us to be individuals in different ways, and there's no one of us that is the exact same. And so he gives us freedom to praise him in however he wants. When we gather together, our hope would be is that we can do that in a way that when we come together, we lay our preferences down for one another in love, so that we can show God what unity in Christ looks like. We can praise him together with one voice. We can be a church gathering where the leaders of this church, the elders and the pastors, the people on the stage that are leading you, are calling us to do certain things. Which is why even when some of us are individually lamenting and mourning in a given Sunday, we may call you to praise and cheer and celebrate Jesus Christ. And when some of us are excited because God just did the most amazing thing in the world to us, we may call you to come in here and to mourn over your sin and to grieve and to be a little more pensive together as a church family. And we need to be willing to do that with one another and to lay those rights down with one another, because the greater value, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, which is all about a church gathering like this, is love. It's love for one another. That's the higher value. That's the point of all of this. So I am excited that God gives us that freedom, but I also love that we're called to lay our preferences down for one another. But here's what I feel sure of. Whether you're a jumper and a dancer, whether that really, you know, makes you nervous and you're kind of just real contrite and calm, whether you love to cheer, whether you don't, here's what I feel sure of. Every church family is called at times in the scriptures to gather together to joyfully praise the Lord and to celebrate him in ways like we would anything else in our life for who he is and for what he's done for us. And so we want you to feel that here at Fellowship Bible Church from us as leaders together. And I love that why verse 6 at the end concludes Psalm 150. It says, let everything that has breath, right? Who should praise the Lord? Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everyone and everything that God has created should praise him in these ways. And in fact, because this is a Sunday where we're preaching on praise, that's what we want to do today. So we're going to wrap our time up here together with a little more praise, a little more upbeat celebration in the midst of that. But the other thing I'm excited about today that's going to feel a little different to some of you for sure is it's a communion Sunday. And one of the things that I'm excited about today of doing is actually celebrating communion together in a joyful way. And I know for some of you, you're like, cool, great, let's do it. For some of you, you're going to be like, wait a minute, we're going to take communion in a joyful way? Like, I've never done that before, never thought about that before. That kind of seems strange to me. But this is what I've realized in studying the scriptures and reading them over time, and I've gotten to do this in different settings. Our church in Memphis, we got to do this some. We went to Israel, and we were in the garden tomb where Jesus was resurrected. We did it this way. It was really kind of cool. We've done it on our West Little Rock campus before. But in the early church, there were definitely times where they came together around communion. And obviously, they focused on mourning over their sin and grieving over their sin and thinking and dwelling on the pain and suffering that Jesus Christ went through for them to be forgiven. And it's sobering, and it's somber, and it's pensive, and it's reflective. And that's real appropriate. It's an appropriate way to celebrate communion. At the same time, in the early church, 9 times out of 10, when they would celebrate communion, it was a part of what they called their kind of feast, their love feast that they would have after the kind of sharing of the word and their worship and praise. They would all do, you know, old school potluck meal, right? You guys, some of you did that growing up as a part of your church experience. Everyone brings their own covered dish. They put down the fellowship hall. You have church. You got to eat together. That's what the early church would do a lot of. They would come together and feast together. And when they would feast, in the middle of this feast, they're all eating and feasting and having fun and sharing, they would pause, and one of the elders or apostles would stand up, and they would say, it's time for the commemorative moment, and they would take the bread and the cup together in the midst of a feast and a meal. So there were times where it was pensive and reflective, but there's a lot of times where it was, man, let's celebrate the fact that we are free from our sin because of what Jesus has done for us. Let's celebrate the fact that we get to live with God in eternity forever because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's celebrate the fact that because he died on the cross and because he's risen from the grave, we get to be risen with him one day, and that frees us in our life, and they would celebrate that and cheer that and be excited about that. And so I think it's an appropriate way to also celebrate communion is with some joy and some excitement. And so what we're going to do today is, I know a lot of times you guys come up here and gather the elements and go off in a corner and pray together and take them, and that's a wonderful way to do it. Today what we're going to do is we're going to have the ushers come here, and they're going to begin to pass the elements in just a minute. Not just yet. I know I'm kind of making you jump the gun there. But in just a second, when the band comes up, they're going to start playing. And they're going to play an upbeat praise song. And I would love for us to stand and to sing that with them, okay? I know I'm going to challenge us some to walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we can do it, okay? I think we can do it. Then we can sing what's on the screen and pass the elements and take the bread and the cup. And while we're singing and collecting those, just get them and hold on to them and keep singing and praising God. In the middle of that song, I'm going to come up and we're going to take them together, and we're going to take them with some joy and some excitement. And we're going to even cheer when we take them, okay? And then we'll keep on singing after that and continue to praise God in an upbeat, kind of fun way. So, band, if you guys would come up and join me here on the stage, I'm going to pray for us so that as we do that, we've prayed over the elements. And then once they start playing, ushers, if you guys want to come and start passing the elements, that would be great. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand, because we're going to praise the Lord and celebrate him in joy together and do this. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you so much for the joy that you give us in Christ. We thank you so much that we have infinite numbers of things that we can praise you for all that you've done and for who you are. May we never forget that, Lord. May we praise you in good seasons and in bad, in fun seasons and in hard, Lord, in times of fear and uncertainty and in times of certainty and joy. God, may we always never forget to praise your name. We love you. Lord, now as we take these elements, reflecting on what Jesus Christ has done for us, Lord, may we recognize that the gospel is called good news for a reason, because it is good news. And we can celebrate this good news as we celebrate your body broken for us and your blood poured out for us. So we thank you and praise you for that in your name. And amen. Guys.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor or even make a decision, you can text the word FOLLOW to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.